born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but to speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Lord, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, tonight as we look into your word and as we tonight try to speak thy word to this, your people, we pray that you might give us the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do that through us which needs to be done in each of our lives this evening. And we'll praise you and thank you through eternity in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I guess at some time or the other, we all get a little bit down and want to give up and quit. I'm sure tonight that in the heat of the moment, sometimes we'll all say, well, I'll just quit this. I'll just leave this job. I'll just lay down. I'll not do it. Nobody appreciates me, and nobody really knows what I do. And we all get a little bit upset and depressed and at times, you know. And, you know, as you think about that this evening, we find that I know that that's true. Because this evening I talk to a lot of people that go through that thing. And to be fair with you, sometimes I go through it myself. Sometimes I get to the point, you know, you say, well, what's it worth? And why do you keep going? Why press on? But you know, as you think about that tonight, we find that many people in the Bible felt the same way. Sometimes I think tonight that we need to think about all as we look through the great men of the Scripture and the great warriors of the faith and the great people of the Bible. They were really ordinary people like you and like me. And God used them in a very mighty way. But they were still human. They still tonight had faults and failures. And they still tonight got down and out at times. You think about probably the greatest leader that ever lived tonight was a man by the name of Moses. God chose him tonight to lead his people out of the land of Egypt on the Exodus tonight to the land that was flowing with milk and honey. What a great privilege God bestowed upon Moses. A very ordinary man tonight who was on the backside of the desert. Nobody didn't know about Moses. Moses tonight was simply herding his father-in-law's sheep, but God tonight had his hand upon Moses. And he anointed him with power and gave him great ability tonight. He became the great leader that would lead God's people tonight. He had wisdom and courage tonight, and Moses became a great man of the Lord. But then when you begin to read about Exodus and you begin to read the things that God said that Moses did tonight, you find that in the book of Numbers, chapter number 11, we find that Moses said to God, If thou deal thus with us, kill me, I pray thee. He said, Lord, just take my life. Lord, we just need to be, you just need to take me and carry me home to be with you. Now you think Moses wasn't down and out? Moses tonight wasn't a little bit depressed? Moses tonight did not feel unappreciated? Moses tonight was always dealing with grumblers and complainers and a mixed multitude that was always second-guessing his leadership. And so one day Moses had finally had enough, and he simply said, "Lord, if thou deal thus with me, just kill me. I pray, Lord, just take me and let me go home to be with you." That's getting pretty severe tonight, but you know, we find that Moses tonight was one of those men of God. And sometimes we look at all their exploits and we forget tonight they were simply humans. Joshua tonight was the man that God handpicked to succeed Moses, a great general tonight, a great man tonight who led the armies of Israel in victory after victory under Moses' leadership. When God tonight took Moses, and Moses was no longer the leader, Joshua was the man that God handpicked tonight to lead his people into the promised land. But you know, as you begin to read, as they got over into the promised land, and things sometimes weren't going exactly as Joshua certainly wanted them to go. And you know, he said in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 7, "Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." We already stayed out of this place. This is what we get for serving God tonight after a great defeat. He felt like quitting. Now he got over it, thankfully, tonight, and we'll see how in a moment. But understand this, Joshua, the great victorious general of God, got depressed. Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, he was willing tonight to challenge the idolatry of his day, and we find tonight that he was willing to stand up to King Ahab. And Elijah tonight was a great prophet of God, and he called fire down from heaven and won a face-off with the prophets of Baal. But right after that, you find that after his great victory up on the mountain, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 4 that after all this was over and after he'd accomplished all that God had worked through him tonight, that he simply requested God that he might die and said, "It's enough. Oh Lord, take away my life." He said, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving you, God. I'm the only person tonight. And now you've got Jezebel chasing me out here in the wilderness. Why don't you just take my life too?" Great prophet tonight. You think about Job tonight. We sometimes talk about Job, and you know tonight he had great patience and faith. The Bible tells us that, and certainly tonight he was truly a great man. He had a great beginning and certainly a great end, but you know, sometimes as you read through the book of Job, you get a real picture tonight of some other things that Job went through. One time he said he wished he'd never even been born. I think it's in Job chapter 3 tonight. He said, "Let the day perish in which I was born." Had great patience tonight, and Job endured great things for God. There came that time in his life, he said, "Wish I'd have never been born." We read tonight, of course, about Jonah and how that God used Jonah tonight through many things tonight to use him as a prophet of God. How that tonight he went down into the city of Nineveh and there preached the preaching that God bid him. And Nineveh repented tonight and turned to God. But tonight the Bible says tonight that he really wanted God to kill him, and he wasn't really happy for all the people that God saved in Nineveh. Never have understood Jonah. Never have totally understood Jonah. I understand the book, but sometimes you read the book of Jonah and you wonder about Jonah. Wasn't happy even though an entire city repented and turned to God. Even the Apostle Paul. In Acts 18, in the words that I read to you tonight, Paul is on his second missionary journey. And he, as we talked about this morning, had been in the city of Athens up on Mars Hill preaching. And he left Athens tonight, and the Bible says that he came to Corinth. And you think about where he went. He went from Athens, a great intellectual city, a great city of learning tonight. And he came to the city of Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He couldn't be saying tonight, I wasn't very strong and I was nervous and rather shaky. He was fatigued, I'm sure, tonight as you study the ancient times and the times in which Paul lived, and they didn't have air-conditioned automobiles and the modes of travel that we have. They primarily walked from place to place, a 53-mile walk that Paul made from Athens to Corinth. So certainly I'm sure that he was a little tired. He tonight was bivocational because he had to make his living as a tent maker. Verse number 5 talks about how he was pressed in the spirit tonight. He was stressed, spiritually stressed. He had a sense of failure tonight. He hadn't had much success in Athens. Matter of fact, in Athens, they called him a babbler. If you want to know the real, we can look all tonight, but really what they were saying is nothing but a bird brain. I think tonight Paul got a little frustrated. He left a city of idolatry tonight and heading for the worst city of immorality in the world, the sin city of its day. It had a temple tonight where the goddess of sex and prostitutes tonight sold their bodies day by day in the name of religion. And I'm sure tonight as you study through this text tonight and you study through the book of Corinthians tonight, you'll find that Paul was unappreciated, and he wrote to the people of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I abundantly love you, the less I be loved. Paul said, you don't appreciate a thing I do for you. And at this point in his life, and at this point as he's arrived in Corinth, he's kind of been alone. He's been beaten and jailed in Philippi, and persecuted in Thessalonica and Berea, ridiculed in Athens, and now he has to face Corinth. I'm sure tonight he was at a low point in his life and a crossroads in his ministry, and Paul was getting to the point tonight he thought, well, maybe I'll just quit. But the Lord came to Paul and showed him that trying times are not the times to quit trying. And he didn't. Why? Because God told him in 9 and 10, it's too soon to quit, Paul. You see, sometimes we all need to get a little second wind. We get a little winded in the work. Paul said we are not to grow weary in the work of God. But sometimes we get a little weary. Sometimes we get a little winded and we have to get that second wind. And God gives Paul 3 simple promises here tonight these verses that I've read in your hearing tonight that I'll give to you real quickly. These promises are for Paul, and they're for you, and they're for I. Paul has the promise tonight of God's presence. Look at verse number 10. For I'm with thee. I'm with thee. I'm with thee. The presence of God is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. As you study through the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find tonight that in the first chapter of Matthew, the Bible begins tonight in talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us. And he closes out the book of Matthew tonight with this very simple little sentence, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages. You see, tonight God's presence is always going to be with us tonight. Amen. As I've told you before, and I'll tell you again tonight, and I still like the song. When you get down and you get out and you get to the point tonight, you wonder what's going on. If you'll really look close, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Right. He's always with us. He never leaves us, nor he never forsakes us this evening. You see, our best friend may stab us in the back. Our best friend may leave us. Sometimes our friends forsake us, don't they? I remember several years ago I was pastoring a church out in the country. Well, it's in the country, ain't it? But this was really in the country. And one evening, a friend of mine came by, and I was telling him something about the church, and we walked over to the church and went through my little office and came out into the church. And he said, "There's a cat in here." And I said, "No, ain't no cat in this church." And the piano was on the other side, and he said, "So we're on the piano bench," and I walked around this way and looked, and it wasn't a cat in the church, it was a skunk. I'm talking about a skunk. Real live skunk. And it's a skunk. And he took off. I run outside and I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going home." And he got in his truck and he left. Sometimes when things get going bad, our friends will forsake us, won't they? But the Lord never leaves us nor never forsakes us. I'm glad that he's always with us. And he'll never run off and leave us tonight. He's always there. His presence is with us. He said, "Paul, I'm with you." You know, later on, Paul said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me this evening." And so this evening we can have God's promise tonight that he's with us. He's with us in the valley sometimes. He's with us in the bad times and good times. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible said that at the graveside of Lazarus that Jesus wept. You ponder that. The shortest verse in the Bible tonight is Jesus wept. And you think about that. The very tears of God flowing out the face of Jesus as he stood there at the grave of Lazarus. Somebody said, "Why did Jesus weep?" I can't tell you all the reasons, but I think one of the reasons is tonight that he can put his arm around you and I when we have to stand by a graveside and comfort us tonight, because he stood by one and wept too. He's always there. He doesn't leave us or forsake us during those times this evening. Even in death, he's with us. I guess we all have a fear of death in certain ways. We have that, as Brother Mays said, we can sing all we want to, but when those pains begin to happen, we want to stay a little longer pill. And so even in the times of death, we have probably that tendency to be a little afraid, but you know, he doesn't forsake us even in an hour, for in the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us this evening. I thought about Brother Mays the other day, and he told me about when he was pastoring one time, and he was a better evangelist than he was pastor, he said, and he said he was at this church and said this woman come up to him and said, "I'll tell you right now, preacher, if I was your wife, I'd put poison in your coffee." And I looked back at her and told her, "Well, bless God, if you was my wife, I'd drink it." But when our time comes, the Lord himself will be there with us tonight. I believe he'll be there to, with dying grace, and to escort us to the other side. He said, "Paul, my presence is with you." Then he said, "You know, Paul, my protection is with you. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." He said he wouldn't be hurt and he wouldn't be harmed. See, God has a purpose for our life tonight. And that purpose tonight God wants to fulfill through us. And until that purpose is fulfilled, the Lord won't allow things to hurt us tonight. I thought this week, Des's niece gave a testimony last week in church, and she'd been out of church for a while, and she said when Carrie died that her little girl looked up at her and said, Carrie's in heaven with God, isn't she, Mama? And she says, yeah. I said, we rolled up on her. She said, she's with God, but we get to see her. And she said, I knew at that point I had to get myself and my child back in church. I don't know what God's purpose was tonight for Carrie going, but it may be to bring people to the Lord tonight. He has a purpose in our life. He has a purpose for us tonight. When that purpose is fulfilled, then we can go to be with Him this evening, you see. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, Paul, God, you can just take me when you get through with me, but I'm not through with us tonight. I read about a missionary not long ago who was serving in North Africa. And there was an upheaval, as there is many times in that part of the world, and the army that took over was an atheist, communist regime, and they were chasing all the missionaries and Christians out of the country. And tonight, as he began to head out, and he got exhausted, and he was looking for a place maybe he could hide for just a little while and rest for a moment. And he saw a little cave, and he crawled up in the cave, and he said as he was sitting there resting and catching his breath, a spider began to weave a web. And it weaved a web over the entrance of the cave. He said, in just a little while, the soldiers chasing him, as they were looking for him, came up to the cave, and one of them said, couldn't be in there, there's a spider web across it, and they kept on going. He said, with God, a spider web is like a wall. And without God, a wall is like a spider web. I'm glad the Lord protects us tonight. And then he talks here about the potential. For I have much people in this city. Now, how could God say that? He said there were no more than a handful of Christians there at this time, but it was a promise of God's potential, of what he was going to do. You see, God didn't see the perverts of this city for what they were, but for what they were going to be. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth a few years later in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, Paul looked at the city and saw great potential. God said, hey, there's a lot of folks in this city to hear the gospel and be saved, and a great church can be established. Paul, I've got much people in this city, just keep preaching to them. You know, tonight, that's what we have to do. We can look around our world tonight and say, boy, it doesn't really seem possible that anything can be done, but God still says, keep going, keep preaching, keep witnessing, keep sending money. Keep doing what you've been doing, because it's always too soon to quit. And sometimes we need to get a second wind. Sometimes we get tired and defeated. But if we let the Lord speak to us in the still, small voice as he spoke to Elijah tonight, we can get that second wind tonight. And we can become and keep going for the Lord in the days in which you and I live. All right, I thank you tonight for coming. If you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, tonight as we think tonight, dear Lord, that you've been good to us and loved us tonight, and you've always been there with us. Heavenly Father, tonight I ask you might take this very simple message and you might use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and for your protection and for showing us the potential of a world in which we live. Lord, tonight, do for us in this service which only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.